cantered through the haze of decaying timber and falling leaves. The voice had an eerie metallic ring to it. Rincewind looked down at Kring the sword. It had a couple of rubies set in the pommel. He got the impression they were watching him. From the moorland rimwards of the wood, they watched the battle between the trees and time, which could only have one ending. It was a sort of cabaret to the main business of the halt, which was the consumption of quite a lot of a bear which had incautiously come within bowshot of Harun. Rincewind watched Harun over the top of his slab of greasy meat. Harun, going about the business of being a hero, he realized, was quite different to the wine-bibbing, carousing Harun who occasionally came to Ankh more pork. He was cat-cautious, lithe as a panther, and thoroughly at home. "And I've survived Belsham Haroth," Rincewind reminded himself. "Fantastic." Twoflower was helping the hero sort through the treasure stolen from the temple. It was mostly silver, set with unpleasant purple stones. Representations of spiders, octopi, and the tree-dwelling Octarsia of the Hubland Wastes figured largely in the heap. Rincewind tried to shut his ears to the grating voice beside him. It was no use.
"And then I belonged to the Pasha of Durat, and played a prominent part in the Battle of Great Neff, which is where I received the slight nick you may have noticed some two-thirds of the way up my blade,"
Kring was saying from its temporary home in a tussock.
"Some infidel was wearing an octiron collar, most unsporting, and of course I was a lot sharper in those days, and my master used to use me to cut silk handkerchiefs in mid-air, and am I boring you?"
"Huh? Oh, no, not at all. It's all very interesting," said Rincewind, with his eyes still on Harun. How trustworthy would he be? Here they were, out in the wilds. There were trolls about.
"I could see you were a cultured person,"
Kring went on.
"So seldom do I get to meet really interesting people for any length of time anyway. What I'd really like is a nice mantelpiece to hang over, somewhere nice and quiet. I spent a couple of 100 years on the bottom of a lake once."
"That must have been fun," said Rincewind absently.
"Not really," said Kring.
"No, I suppose not."
"What I'd really like is to be a ploughshare. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like an existence with some point to it."
Twoflower hurried over to the wizard.
"I had a great idea," he burbled.
"Yeah," said Rincewind wearily. "Why don't we get Harun to accompany us to Quirm?" Twoflower looked amazed.
"How did you know?" he said.
"I just thought you'd think of it," said Rincewind. Harun ceased stuffing silverware into saddlebags and grinned encouragingly at them. Then his eyes strayed back to the luggage.
"If we had him with us, who'd attack us?" said Twoflower.
Rincewind scratched his chin.
"Harun," he suggested. "But we saved his life in the temple."
"Well, if by attack you mean kill," said Rincewind, "I don't think he'd do that. He's not that sort. He'd just rob us and tie us up and leave us for the wolves, I expect."
"Oh, come on."
"Look, this is real life," snapped Rincewind. "I mean, here you are, carrying around a box full of gold. Don't you think anyone in their right minds would jump at the chance of pinching it?" "I would," he added mentally, "if I hadn't seen what the luggage does to prying fingers." Then the answer hit him. He looked from Harun to the picture box. The picture imp was doing its laundry in a tiny tub, while the salamanders dozed in their cage. "I've got an idea," he said. "I mean, what is it heroes really want?"
"Gold," said Twoflower.
"No, I mean really want." Twoflower frowned.
"I don't quite understand," he said.
Rincewind picked up the picture box. "Harun," he said, "come over here, will you?" The days passed peacefully. True, a small band of bridge trolls tried to ambush them on one occasion, and a party of brigands nearly caught them unawares one night, but unwisely tried to investigate the luggage before slaughtering the sleepers. Harun demanded, and got, double pay for both occasions. "If any harm comes to us," said Rincewind, "then there will be no one to operate the magic box. No more pictures of Harun. You understand?"